everybody. We are back for another week. Draft is this Sunday. It is happening. Just a reminder, if you don't know, draft this Sunday, August 25, 6 p.m. That's Pacific Standard Time. So anybody who's in Idaho, you got an hour bump. So it's going to be like 7 your time. If you're, I think we're all in, oh, we got somebody in Colorado too. So that might be 8 o'clock your time. But yeah, we have draft coming up. So hopefully you've been doing some mock drafts and practicing. I'm going to talk to you about some tips and tricks that I have in order to help with your draft if you are going to be drafting. And then kind of talk to you about some news and notes and kind of go from there. But yeah, like I said, first and foremost, I've said it a few times already, but it seems like people keep forgetting things, is that the draft is August 25. Wanted to tell you guys about the keepers. Some people were wondering, who did everybody keep? And not everybody seems to remember the access to our Google document where I update everything. So I figure I might as well update you here on the podcast too. So I kept DeAndre Hopkins. Brandon kept Julio Jones. Michael W. Kept Ezekiel Elliott. Dom chose Alvin Kamara. Casey kept Todd Gurley. Darren kept Saquon Barkley. Connor, who won our league, did not turn in a keeper. Wah, wah, wah. So you don't get to keep anybody. Kendrick kept Odell Beckham Jr. Matt Cantrell kept Juju Smith-Schuster. And Jake Prosser kept Patrick Mahomes. And then that meant Derek and Travis got to... they got to pick their own keepers since they're brand new to the league from anybody else who was not selected and who was not a rookie. That's the way we thought we could make it fair. They, respectively, Derek chose Christian McCaffrey and Travis chose David Johnson. So from that, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 wide receivers were kept, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 running backs and 1 quarterback. So yeah, it's pretty common. It's pretty much par for the course. For anybody who's listening and doesn't know, we do a keeper minus one round, so based upon average draft position. So here later this week, I'm going to be going through and just searching what the average draft position is for each one of those players. And then from that position, I'm minus one round. For example, DeAndre Hopkins, since I'm keeping him, he's a first-round pick. I believe he's typically the 107, 108. And so I would give up my second-round pick. So the reason why that is beneficial, again, to walk it through, I realize I kind of talk through it really fastly for those who don't understand it. Since his average draft position is in the first round, I'm minus one round, so it's the second round. So whatever my second-round pick is, I lose that one. Which that's where you can kind of play some math if you wanted to and play the best value to the keepers is, you know, you could look at and see, say, okay, I'm picking at the 11th spot, which I am in our draft. I'm picking at the 11th spot. So I have the 10 or 202 pick, but he's valued at the minus one round at the 208. So theoretically I'm gaining some value on the pick, if that makes sense. So you're looking at it, I mean, just doing an eyeball, obviously I don't have the average draft position up, but DeAndre Hopkins is a first rounder, Julio is a first rounder, Ezekiel is a first rounder, maybe actually, with the holdout, he may drop to the second, so he may only be giving up his third. Alvin Kamara is a first rounder, Todd Gurley actually lately has been dropping to a second, so she probably would lose her third. Excuse me. Saquon's a first rounder. Odell's probably a first rounder, maybe a second rounder. Juju, I think, is a third or a second. Might be a first. I might be surprised. Patrick Mahomes, I've seen as early as first round all the way to fifth round. So I'll have to look and see what the average draft position is for him. And then Christian McCaffrey's a first rounder, and David Johnson's on the borderline first round, second round. So it's nice that since most people chose first round or second rounders, it's pretty much like we gave up the first round of the draft. So you shouldn't be too out of whack. But if say, you know, using Patrick Mahomes, say his average draft position is the third round, so Jake would only lose his fourth round. Jake's going to have a lot of consecutive picks because we all lost potentially our second rounders. So he would have his first round pick like normal and then potentially come right back around very quickly to have a second round pick before anybody else because everybody else theoretically already chose theirs. So there is some advantage to maybe not taking your first rounder because then you get the best two of the best players who are left, but they're not necessarily the best of the best. So kind of think about the strategy on that. I still think the best option when it's a one keeper league is to take your absolute best player and let the rest fall as be. But we'll see. I'm really excited. Oh, my dog's barking. I don't know what he's barking at. He could be barking at cats. He could be barking at the chickens. By the way, if you hear chickens, I record this in my basement near our window well where the chickens actually lay some eggs. So if you hear some squawking, it's because they're laying eggs. So I don't really have no idea why he's barking. It's getting kind of annoying. Anyways, moving on. So those are the keepers. And by the way, if anybody's listening to this podcast who isn't actually part of our league and is just enjoying conversation about football and having insight into somebody else's league, welcome. You know, we love having you here. We love hanging out with you. If you want to engage with me and talk to me about what you're doing with your league or just kind of building a community in general, you're welcome to follow me on Twitter. Michael Dewey, I'm on there. I actually don't know what my Twitter handle is off the top of my head because I used to have two. Michael Dewey 99. And then I got rid of one of them. So yeah, Michael Dewey 99. So that's Michael, like you normally spell it, M-I-C-H-A-E-L. Dewey is like the Dewey Decimal System, D-E-W-E-Y, and then number 99. So picture of me and my little girl in the profile picture, and it's black and white. So feel free to join us. Follow me on Twitter. If you are listening to this as well and you're not on Twitter, that is something you should probably do. The only reason why I joined Twitter, because the truth is Twitter's cancer. There's so much anger and so much negativity out there that people just, it's like the super negative forum. That's why I had two, is I started out with one Twitter and I just kept getting sucked into all the negativity everywhere. And so then I deleted that Twitter and decided to start a new one with a fairly strict rules of I'm only going to follow Chiefs football or other football related people. And if those people started posting political stuff, regardless of the affiliation, I just unfollowed them because I'm trying to keep Twitter from giving me cancer. Because like I said, everybody's opinions, everybody has them, you know. I'm going to try to make this PC a little bit since, you know, I don't want an adult rating. But like the saying says, everybody, opinions are like bum holes. Everybody has them and they all stink. So I thoroughly believe that. And just because it's different than your own opinion doesn't mean it's wrong. But I also don't like being bombarded by it all the time. So anyways, like I said, back to Twitter though. You should have a Twitter and you should follow some people on there, like the beat writers for the particular teams. You should try to follow some main football people that you are interested in. I personally like the fantasy footballers. Some people like the Yahoo football people. Like I said, follow the people that you're interested in because they'll constantly tweet out information. Another great app to have is the Sleeper app because they do break information. If you have a hard time keeping up with all the injuries and all the players going on and you just don't want to have to sift through all the news and it just seems really, really tedious, the Sleeper app is really, really great because, like I said, they will just send notifications for any injury that comes out. The fantasy footballers do the same thing. They have their own podcast. Truth is, they're one of my inspirations of why I want to do this is I love listening to them, and they got me interested in actually talking on a microphone and doing this myself. So give them a listen. They actually just got into a – they got like – I think it's maybe Syndicate potentially. They're on SiriusXM now. So they're every Thursday evening during drive time. They're going to have a live show in addition to their 5 days a week fantasy football show and their other Spitballers, which is nothing football related, but just a goofy show that they do once a week. So they are really killing it over there. They're down in Arizona. So actually, Jake, since you're down there in Phoenix, sorry to rat you out where you're at, but that's where the fantasy footballers are located. And if you ever get a chance while you're down there, you need to go try to go to their office because it is super duper cool down there. They're pretty much the American dream, and I just am so envious of what they got going on. But they do some really good stuff. Their website has rankings every week that ranks the different players based upon who they're playing. So if they're going up against a rough hard defense, you know, the player might be ranked a little bit lower. But yeah, you can check your rankings. You can check all those things. They do a lot of really good work. So I highly, highly recommend the Fantasy Footballers. For a long time, I used to not tell anybody about them. But then I thought, you know, why not just spread it around, give everybody a chance just as much as me, because ultimately they don't tell you what to do. They give you the information and they allow you to make up your own mind, because again, everybody has their own opinion on the certain players. And if you honestly think the Eagles are going to be Super Bowl champs, you know, again, that's your opinion. May not be everybody's opinion, but that's your opinion. So want to update everybody, since we got the draft coming up, we have some interesting drama still we want to update everybody on. Like I said before, there's the drama going on with the three people, Antonio Brown, Melvin Gordon, and Ezekiel Elliott. Those are all players who have high potential for big games, big seasons. But if they have holdouts or whatnot, they can get really rough. Starting with Antonio Brown, his big beef is, it was originally injury with his feet, but now is because he doesn't get to wear the helmet that he wants. The NFL has tested his helmet. His helmet is failed multiple times. They are now, he found another helmet and he's going to try to get it tested as well, with another party. But the NFL keeps saying it's not passing the standards that we have set for health and safety for the league. And he's kind of throwing a fit about it. So who knows? Mike Mayock, the GM of the Raiders, has come out and said he needs to be all in or all out now. I've heard mixed reports that he's been given kind of the ultimatum letter. I forget what it's officially called, but there's a letter that the leagues can give a player that says you have 5 days to report to camp. And if you don't, we're going to put you onto the exempt list, which you can't play for any team at all. And we have the power to void your complete contract, even guaranteed money, which he has about $30 million, I think, or so in guaranteed money. So if he really truly wants that, he's probably going to need to. Do you hear my chickens? Yeah, there's an egg. There's an egg coming. So where was I at? Antonio Brown. So $30 million. So I've heard rumors that they've issued that letter, but then he did show up for camp yesterday, so I don't know if that voids the letter or if the letter's always on the table then at that point. But either way, there's a lot of drama going on there in Oakland and with Antonio Brown. So he's going to be falling, I think, pretty far in leagues. So he might be a value, he might be a steal, he might be a bomb, a landmine that you pick up and just blows up in your face. So kind of take that for what it's worth. Melvin Gordon, there hasn't really been much drama or new information. He's still on his holdout. Melvin Gordon said he's just waiting for somebody to give him a call and he'll be good to go. He says the 26-year-old Gordon has been seeking a new contract and is scheduled to make $5.6 million in 2019, which is the final season of his 5-year rookie deal. So he is currently on his 5th year. That information comes from Sports Illustrated. So he's on his last year right now. And so he would be a free agent coming up. So he does actually have some negotiating power if they want to keep him. But the truth is, I think because of the way things have gone, unless they sign him for a long-term deal here, he's a goner. So he'll show up for Thursday Night Football, finish out a season, be a free agent, and not come back to the Chargers. That's what I foresee happening. So, Melvin Gordon, at this moment, high risk. I wouldn't personally grab him, wouldn't draft him. Again, all three of these players, they have high reward, high risk. The risk meaning if you take them and they succeed, you just probably stole a player. Like, you could probably get Melvin Gordon in the 3rd round right now. Like, he may very well fall to that if people are following the drama going on. And so there's a huge value there. Or he may fall to the 3rd round, you grab him, and he never plays or doesn't play until, you know, the Thursday night, which is, I think, what was that, week 10, in which he's able to accrue a season, and then you'll only get him for 6 weeks if you're in the playoffs all the way to the very end. I mean, you pretty much would already be in the playoffs. But at the same time, that just show that, hey, if you get him and he does succeed and comes back at that time and you're in the playoffs, you're pretty much guaranteed in. So it really kind of depends on the makeup of our league, if he's worth grabbing or not. But keep an eye out for him. Keep an eye out. Ezekiel Elliott, he's the other one. Now, he's had some drama. He, on the other hand, I don't believe is in his last year. Let's see if this one is saying anything. I don't see it. Just scanning the article real quick. I don't see him saying when he'd be a free agent or anything. But what's interesting about him is the reporters were asking Jerry Jones if they thought, you know, how he, you know, the new rookie running back is doing and if it is affecting the Ezekiel Elliott deal. And he goes, who? And he goes, the Ezekiel Elliott deal. And he said, or no, they said the Brown, or the backup rookie running back. I can't think of his name. And Jerry Jones goes, no, Ezekiel who? And so Ezekiel Elliott's not too happy. Pretty much Jerry Jones was, after his comment of the Ezekiel who and the we don't need an Emmitt Smith to win a Super Bowl kind of comment, I'm pretty sure the Cowboys are pretty much saying, we don't need you, so thank you, either play or get out kind of a thing. On the plus side, Michael W. chose to keep him. And so we don't have to worry about it. You know, we don't have to worry about the keeper side of it or drafting him. Somebody's already done that. And so Michael has chosen to take on the risk of Ezekiel Elliott. And we'll see if it pays off. Again, another high risk, high reward type situation. Because it could blow up in his face. He could pretty much make his first round draft pick or second round draft pick since the keeper a complete waste. On the flip side, if his ADP is dropping into second round and he got him for the third, and then he comes back fairly strong, then Michael just got an extremely strategic steal. So, you know, like I said, the thing is with this game is there's no 100% right answer. Nothing that I say or talk about with this league, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know everything about it. I mean, that's kind of the main reason why I don't like the team veto and why we don't do it on our league is because we are all players. We all have ideas. We all have the interests and want to run our team the way we want to run it. And if that means we make a mistake and we take a high risk situation, it's not the rest of the league's choice or reason to tell me that I did it wrong, because it could very easily blow up my face as well as be the best thing I've ever done. And that's life. That's life too. Like, there's so many things about life, you know, starting a business, you know, people in your life may tell you, oh, you don't do it. Don't do it because, you know, it's not very successful. There's hardly any, you know, if it was so successful, everybody would do it. Well, yeah, if you followed the exact same situation, exact same cookie cutter mold for the business. But the thing is everybody has an idea. Everybody has a dream. Everybody has something. And there's other people who have similar dreams. And if you have a business that aligns with that, you could be extremely successful. But if you never actually take the risk, you're never going to get the reward. So that being said, kudos to you, Michael, for taking the risk on Ezekiel Elliott. I don't know if I could do that. That being said, I don't think I can take the risk with Melvin Gordon or Antonio Brown. My reasoning why for my team is I play the probability. I try to get my first two or three picks, ideally, are extremely safe. They're my foundation for my team. I want a good baseline of a team, so I usually don't go for risky players. So inside information for all you drafting with me this weekend. If you're the pick after me and you see that Melvin Gordon's on the line and it's between me and them, or there's a chance I pick him up before him, you got a good chance that Melvin Gordon's going to fall to you, because I don't think I can take the risk. Now, who knows? Maybe when I'm in there and, you know, he's fallen to the third round and I'm sitting there staring at him, then maybe that's different. But at this moment, I don't do that. It's all probability. I go with safe players initially, and then towards the end is where I take my high upside. I look for the people to explode and be my league game changer type players. Something else to let everybody know about, and remind people, is yes, the draft's coming up and it's our foundation for your team, but you don't win the league based upon the draft. I mean, proof is by Connor, who won this last year, who ironically didn't choose a keeper, but he didn't show up to the draft. He auto-drafted. And he was just very, very active in free agency in terms of trading, in terms of getting people off the waiver wires. He did not quit. He pushed, and he ended up winning the league. So you don't win based upon the draft. So if you've come out of the draft feeling like you messed up completely and it's all over, don't. Because you still got a long ways to go. There's a lot of injuries that happen. There's a lot of breakout players that are going to happen. There's potentially somebody on the waiver wire at the end of the draft that's going to be a top wide receiver or a top running back. We just don't know who it is yet. And so, get your foundation. Also, there's somebody who also said too that when you get done with your draft, you look at your team. I think Jason from the Fantasy Footballer said this. It's like smelling your own farts. Usually your own fart smells okay. It stinks, but at the same time, you're kind of like, some days you're proud of that, right? And looking at your team, you may get enamored with the fact that you love the team, but don't, because there's always going to be a good trade that comes through. Be always looking for the next player, et cetera, because it makes the league fun. And that's another part of fantasy football that's super duper exciting, is the trades and staying active. So stay active in your league. You'll have a great, great season. Mock drafts. I wanted to tell everybody that they should be this week, try to do at least one mock draft a day. They don't take long. They take like 5 to 10 minutes because you're drafting against the computer and based upon ADP and randomization. So, yes, you can't really, unless you want to pay for a premium service, you can't put your keeper league information into it and all that stuff. But I always use a really cool one. Hold on, see if I can find it real quick. Thought I brought it up. Maybe I didn't. Oh, there it is. Yep. Draft Wizard. DraftWizard.fantasypros.com. So DraftWizard.fantasypros.com. You can start a mock draft and you can set up your league to be fairly custom. Standard PPR, half point PPR, the draft type of snake, linear, etc. You can then customize the roster spots. So how many QBs, how many running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, flex positions, bench spots, etc. I want to talk about bench. I'll get to that in a second. And then you can also select where you're going to be drafting in that order. Speaking of draft order, since we have the draft order drafts coming up and you want to do some mock drafts, I figure I should tell everybody what the draft order will be, because that has already been determined, because it is inverse of where you placed last year. So always new players, we give the top picks to. Anybody who's new in the league gets to jump up to the top one or two, just because as like a, hey, welcome to the league. We don't want you to hate the league right away. So Travis Wagman is going to get first pick, then Derek, followed by third is Matt, then Brandon, then Darren, then Cassie, Jake, Michael, Dom, Kendrick, myself, Michael Dewey, and Connor. So that's the draft order again. So Travis, Derek, starting at the first pick, by the way. Travis, Derek, Matthew, Brandon, Darren, Cassie. Sorry, I thought I heard something. Jake, Michael, Dom, Kendrick, myself, Michael Dewey, and Connor. And then it's inverted. So you go first to last to first to last to first, kind of thing. So starting out the second round, Connor will be the first pick. I'll be the second. So it's a snake draft. Check that out. Do some mock drafts. It will definitely help you figure out what kind of players are going to be ish on the board based upon average draft position. When you are picking, it helps you fine tune who you're interested in. The first two rounds are not necessarily that helpful, just because, like I said, with the keeper and the minus one round, but it is really helpful in the like third and fourth and fifth rounds, because you'll start to be looking at situations where, do I want to go one more wide receiver here? Do I want to go one more running back? And usually a good tip, by the way, when you're doing the mock drafts, what I do, so I took a wide receiver, so I always set my second pick will always be a wide receiver. Just because I want to get a general feel of what the composition of the team is. Some people like to go heavy wide receivers. Some people like to go heavy running backs. Really, it's up to you. Typically, running backs get hurt more. So for me, I like to have more running back heavy, especially if it's a PPR league, because any receiving running back is extremely valuable. Do some mock drafts. Try it out. See where you go. Get the practice in, because then you can start to see who you're interested in. Another thing that is helpful for drafting is tier drafting. So if you're not familiar with what tier drafting is, usually you have to do all the work yourself or pay for somebody else's tier information. Rarely does somebody put the tier information up online for free. But I'll give you kind of an example. The Ultimate Draft Kit, which is put out by the Fantasy Footballers, they actually have you can buy the Ultimate Draft Kit for like $30 if you're interested in something like that. But they break every single player down into tiers. And tier drafting helps you know if you have a value. Now, granted, if you do it yourself, then you know you 100% believe everything in your tier. If you use somebody else's tier, it's not always guaranteed that you're going to believe it or go with it. But just use the quarterback, for example. They have tier one, which means this is the best level of quarterback. If you can get one of these quarterbacks, you're going to be made in the shade kind of a thing. They only have one quarterback in the tier one. And yes, that's Patrick Mahomes. So theoretically in our league, to use an example, Jake already has the tier one, the best quarterback potential. The next tier is Deshaun Watson, and there's nobody else in that tier. So according to the Fantasy Footballers, they right now at the point of recording, so August 20, they believe there's two tiers, which is Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson in their own separate set alone tiers. But then after that, you have tier three that has 2, 4, 5. You have Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz, Andrew Luck, and Cam Newton. So what this does is as you're drafting, you're going down the line, and you're in the sixth round. And by this point, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz, Cam Newton are all gone, right? Or actually, hold on, let's leave Matt Ryan, because usually people don't really realize how good Matt Ryan is. We'll just say everybody's been selected except for Matt Ryan in the from the tier two up. And people start selecting Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, and Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, which, by the way, is in the tier four, according to them. When you're doing that, all of a sudden, you look at you comes around for your pick, and you're looking at things saying, hey, all tier four, all tier one and tier two are gone, but there's still one tier three person out there. I'm going to grab that person and get a better value than everybody else is for their QB. So a lot about drafting is trying to find the value, trying to find where that diamond in the rough is, right? And tier drafting is really, really useful to do that. So that's honestly why I really like the Ultimate Draft Kit. What's beautiful about this too is they update it every single day. So yes, I just listed off these rankings, but as life happens, you know, like the Andrew Luck situation, he still hasn't played in the preseason. He has a calf injury that he's been nursing and dealing with. And so he could potentially drop or he could go way up. You know, I could see him going up to the tier two if he starts playing in the preseason, you know, with Deshaun Watson. So who knows? You have to kind of keep an eye on it. You'll pay attention to those kind of things. But the draft is always a fun day. It's kind of like Christmas for me. It's the one time where you get to like get out, do your research and put your money where your mouth is, in a sense, for the league. Also kind of just as a signal of football is here and going to be amazing. So yeah, anyways, that's where we'll wrap it up for this week. 30-minute show. I hope you all have a great rest of your week. Drafts coming up here on Sunday. Don't forget mock drafts. Do them. Do some research. Get some apps like Sleeper. Get on Twitter. Do everything you can to get prepared. Get ready. Know what's happening in the NFL so that you can have a very, very competitive team. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.